Our scripture today comes from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male or female slave or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. The word of God for the people of God.
Will you pray with me, please? Oh God, our creator, the one who made the universe, the one who made this planet, who made even us. Thank you for your holy word. As it's been sung, as it has been read, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit has infused and will continue to infuse the words that you've given me to share. Help us all to hear you above anything that I've offered. May your Holy Spirit help us to hear and to move as you are calling us. We offer this prayer together in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Have you noticed how hard it is to think straight when you're tired? Like, for example, earlier today, I thought I was supposed to be teaching a Sunday school class, and I walked in and they're looking at me like, "What? Why are you here?" And 2 weeks ago, I thought I was preaching at Candler School of Theology for the License to Preach school, and nobody was there. So it's hard to think straight when you're tired. Studies have even found that we are more dangerous on the road when we're too tired. Well, maybe not more dangerous. We are just as dangerous when we're driving too tired as if we were intoxicated. So think about that. I mean, we all know don't drive under the influence, but also don't drive too tired. You're exactly the same way lethal. And I don't think that I need to cite any data that says that our capacity to have patience, compassion, critical thinking, all of that suffers when we're tired. Our bodies and our minds and our spirits need to be refreshed through rest. And this weekend, thank God, is the first weekend of, well, the first unofficial weekend of summer break, right? The season where we switch into vacation mode. The church office is even going to start being closed. The Fridays in June and July will be closed, so we're having a few extra time to rest. So why, on this day that may begin the season of vacation, am I preaching about Sabbath? Two reasons. First, it's the lectionary text. Go figure. But secondly, because Sabbath is actually different from a day off or vacation, though it can be observed while you're on vacation or on your day off. The defining characteristic of Sabbath, and Janice got to it, the defining characteristic is that we abstain from work and it is holy. Holy means set apart. And in our culture, where time is money, we have lost the sense of the holiness of Sabbath. If you've ever truly observed Sabbath, you know how sweet it can be. But aren't we observing Sabbath right now? I mean, we're sitting here in church and worship. Sure, this hour or two, we won't be here for 2 hours. Oh gosh. This hour or two that we set aside for the worship of God and for the fellowship with God's people can be restful. It is definitely restful and restorative, and we spend time in the presence of God. But I don't think that when God uttered this commandment, God was really only talking about us spending just 2 hours in rest and in time in God's presence. More on that in a bit, though. First, let's get some background on this commandment before we go any further. This text is from Deuteronomy. It is the fourth of the Ten Commandments. It comes after, "You shall not have any gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an idol. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God." And it precedes, "Honor your father and mother. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. And you shall not covet." I think that all of us can accept the authority of these commandments. At least I think we do. And we seek to uphold them while we also live out the two commandments that Jesus offered to us, that we should love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. These commandments are all important, but let's think about, what are they actually doing for us, and what are they doing in our community? What are they even doing with our relationship with God? Taken together, the Ten Commandments are beautiful. They were given to the ancient Hebrews to help this people craft a new life together with the God who liberated them and with one another. These commandments oriented them first to God and then toward each other. And we can see this in the first four commandments give us direction on right relationship with God. And the last six give us direct us on giving right relationship with each other. And these commandments were not made for punishment, but they were given so that things could go well among this new community. When the commandments are given the first time in the wilderness, as we read in Exodus, they function to give structure to a people who are forming a new nation. And when the commandments are repeated in Deuteronomy, the people are coming out of a different kind of wilderness where they have experienced political and religious crisis. The temple has been destroyed, and some of the people have even been exiled. So these commandments were given to reorient a people who had lost so much, to reorient them toward the God who had liberated them before, and on recreating the community that had been destroyed. The commandments take their authority from God, and the fact that this same God who once before saved a people from slavery, this same God has the power to offer and deliver freedom, making the possibility for a new way of living. This same God also offers us freedom and the possibility of a new way for living. Why then do we resist the freedom and new way of living that God offers to us? Why do we insist on not following the commandment to rest? We seem to adhere most of the time to the other nine commandments. I mean, nobody walks around saying, "I think I'm gonna go and commit adultery today," and brags about it, or, "I think I'm gonna go steal something today." We don't honor people for that, but there's something about honoring people for being busy and not resting. Why do we resist submitting to this abiding love and goodwill that God offers to us through the commandment to observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy? There are potentially many reasons why we find keeping Sabbath so hard. I'm going to throw out a few that I've thought up. Maybe you have your own. The Sabbath commandment might be a tricky one for us, maybe because it's a public and communal act that requires us to abstain from something that's not necessarily obviously religious or moral. It calls us to abstain from work. Another reason may be that Jesus often had altercations with the religious authorities about Sabbath observance. And I wonder if we have decided that since Jesus worked, meaning he healed, on the Sabbath, then that negates the commandment to observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. But that isn't a completely valid argument for us. Because Jesus was Lord of the Sabbath, and we're not. He was always holy and always set apart. We're not. Jesus observed the Sabbath by always remaining one with God. So I don't think we can blame Jesus for us not keeping Sabbath. I read the chapter on Sabbath in Barbara Brown Taylor's book, An Altar in the World. In her book, she recalls her childhood here in the South, where everything was closed on Sunday, and all she could do was sit on the front porch with her aunts and uncles and talk about things that were totally boring to her. So maybe we don't keep Sabbath because it seems like it's constraining or boring. Sometimes it's inconvenient too. Many of us just have a hard time sitting still. See? Wasn't that awkward? Maybe we think it might even be self-indulgent for us to take a time of Sabbath. Maybe we think that we could never have a day off where we don't do anything that's productive. I know sometimes I think, what about my kids? What about my chores? What about this awesome holy work that God has called me to? Or maybe we have a more cloaked reason for not keeping Sabbath. What happens if I'm not busy all the time? Will people think I'm lazy? What if everything that I'm responsible for falls apart? Or worse, what if everything that I'm responsible for doesn't fall apart? Am I even needed? We're often seduced by the possibility of being significant. And how can we be significant if everything keeps going well when we're absent? We make an idol out of busyness so that we can make ourselves secure. We let other people own our time because we want to be liked and seen a certain way. So are we really trying to please God? Or are we trying to please other people? Or are we trying to please ourselves? Let's go back and look at the text again. It says something interesting. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. The Sabbath is not really about us. It's about God. We observe the Sabbath and keep it holy because of who God is. Which makes me wonder if we really have those other commandments covered and if we really follow them. Because if there's no other God before God, then what God says we should do is what we do. This is where we have to ask God to help us. We need God's grace to help us keep this commandment. Because keeping Sabbath is a discipline, just like prayer, searching the scriptures, spiritual fellowship, and worship. We have to cultivate the habit and ask God to help us to make this decision and to stick with it. Keeping Sabbath requires that we develop the discipline to observe a holy rest because so much around us fights against being still. See? After all, the scripture does not say be busy and useful and know that I am God. But instead, the scripture says, be still and know that I am God. What if God doesn't ask us to be busy at all, but instead to be about God's business? And sometimes that means sitting down, listening to your breath, and listening to the birds chirping outside. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. God has given us the Sabbath as a gift and a commandment to help us experience our God-given freedom to rest. And we can rest because God has granted us the permission to use or not to use our bodies. As Swiss theologian and pastor Karl Barth said, a being is free when it can determine and limit its activity. Are you free? God says you are. And if you don't feel free, who or what have you placed before God? Now, sometimes I'll think, but I have too much to do. But my family needs me. And clearly that's true. It's valid. But we still have to develop a discipline to keep the Sabbath. We have to plan our weekly day of rest. We have to set the boundary and the expectation with our jobs, with our friends and our family. And obviously, I don't have all this figured out myself yet. So I will offer to you some of the practical examples that some of my friends have. I have a friend who spends 8 hours. It's not a full day, but it's a working day of rest. I know others who take dusk one day, one evening, until dusk the next day, and that's his Sabbath time. I know other people, me, who tend to only get about 4 or 5 hours a week. To be able to experience the freedom that God has already given us, we have to cultivate trust in God, that God will bless our offering of time back to God. We develop the discipline of shaping our weeks and our months to allow for our obligations, both of activity and of rest, to be met. Remember, the Sabbath isn't just for us as individuals. It's also for the community. The ancient Israelite religion was about creating a healthy community, both of the insiders and the outsiders. When the Israelites kept Sabbath, the Gentiles, their slaves, their animals, and the land got to rest too. When we act like God is God and we observe the Sabbath, we give others the example and permission to do the same. The Sabbath is not merely a rule to follow, but a privilege. It's a grace for us to receive. We get to reveal to others what it may look like to follow God and to live in ways that are more life-giving than our culture sells us. I started this sermon asking a question. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to think straight when you're tired? It's hard to speak straight, hear straight, and love straight too when you're tired. And if we don't receive the gift of Sabbath rest and make receiving it a part of our lives, we lose the ability to see and hear God clearly. When we let the addiction to activity drive us, we can't be still long enough to hear God's voice. And God is so wise. God knew that unless we paused and let a time be set apart and holy, we would not get to replenish our God-supplied energy. Which brings me back to what we are doing here on Sunday mornings. We choose to come to worship. We choose to come to worship on Sundays as a time set apart to rest in the presence of God. And we help to make this time together because it would look really silly if I were the only person standing here. The day of worship for Christians became the first day of the week because those first Christians, they were first Jewish, so they would have Sabbath on the seventh day. But Jesus was fully revealed to them in the resurrection on the first day of the week. And so after that first Sunday, his followers began to gather each Sunday, anticipating his presence among them. We gather each Sunday, anticipating the presence of Jesus with us each Sunday. So even as we plan our family vacations, and even as we plan to have combined worship here in the month of June, we must remember why we do any of this in the first place. Sabbath and Sunday worship are gifts given by God for us to have time set apart to experience the life-giving nourishment of God in community. Receive this gift of Sabbath, if not just for yourselves, for your church, for your community, for your family, for the world. When we pause to remember the real things, the things that matter, the mystery of God's gracious love and worship, we go back to whatever we're going to go do, recreated. I've noticed that when I take the time to rest, I'm better able to perceive the little glimpses of God out in my daily life and can have real conversation with people. I can slow down and hear and see. When we have been nourished by this holy rest and God's presence, then we're ready to go back home to our families. We're ready to go back to work and school and camp, really ready to share God's love with others. God has given us this amazing gift that we show our thanksgiving and our praise through rest and worship of God. So receive this gift and share it joyfully. Amen.